November 18, 2014 is the Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show.
Hey, Brother Matt, how you doing?
Good, good. Just dodging movie crews and...
Yeah, right. Hollywood's taking over outside here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Do you know what it is?
It's some pilot that they're doing. So
What, like crime?
I don't know exactly. Drogas? But they're going big time because they've got like
doctor
the whole
room,
town.
Doctors.
They got the
whole I know, but my warehouse won 3 boxcars.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was for livestock, and they got railroad tracks so Hollywood can make like a New York subway or whatever.
Oh, shit. Oh,
and we got the star trailers right down there.
That's right.
I haven't seen.
Yeah, I heard he might be in trouble because they reopened Natalie Wood's case.
Oh.
Him and Mr. Walken.
Ah.
Oh, right? Wow.
Yeah, that's a little fishy.
He runs a star wagon.
Yeah.
We'll start off the show with something brand new. Well, it was recorded November 66, so that's not too brand new, but the official Impulse one came out live at Temple University, one of John Coltrane's last performances, and that was Naima. You know, he's singing and beating himself in the chest. I heard it was kind of a Buddha technique, this thing, singing and beating.
Tarzan, too.
Yeah. And then Sawako and Daisuke Mayutani and PVG. So, Matt, we got guests here.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Brother Peyote Cody.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Lost Control Radio.
Thank you guys for having me.
And you brought your buddy.
My good friend, Sean Otis Barley.
Photographer.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
connected with the Princess Cruises from the deck way up high.
Yes, sir.
A shot of the fucking breakwater in the Angel Gate Lighthouse.
That's right.
You know, this is where when I do the kayak.
Oh, okay. Sean has been a photographer ever since I've known him. His mother was a great photographer, and we've been friends since 85. Junior high school, skateboarding together. Yeah.
85 was heavy.
So I had to bring him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Where were you born? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Granada Hills in the San Fernando Valley.
Right.
I was born and raised in the Valley.
You're a Val guy.
Valley guy, yeah.
Can you tell me your earliest music recollection?
Absolutely. My mom was a single mom.
Yeah.
She loved, her and all her siblings loved the shit out of Elvis Presley, which I cannot stand.
Yeah.
Because I associate it with her getting loaded and drinking around the house and, you know, having the blues around Christmas, you know, playing Love Me Tender. And I'm like, oh, shit, not this shit again, right? So that's my earliest.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
Well, Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley. Yeah. And at the same time, all the Motown shit. She loved Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
She loved Johnny Mathis. She loved Smokey Robinson. So I was hip to that. Elvis, I didn't dig, but. Yeah. But
I think he learned how to sing in church from brothers. Over.
Probably.
You can hear it in his voice.
Sure. I mean, he's from he's from that town.
I've been through there. In fact, there was a little church where supposedly he started singing.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go down there, Elvis was here doing
dad. Yeah. My mom actually took me to Graceland on a trip when we were kids. And I was... Tan, I didn't really care. I was like, whatever.
All the names written on the walls, all ladies.
Yeah, oh, yeah? Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay, so...
So that was my earliest.
That's your earliest. It's in the house, you know, most...
It's in the house,
most people, it is in the house.
And I thank my mom for that, She has some soul. You know,
what about
definitely.
School?
Well, growing up, school, you know, KLOS was what I grew up on, really. Classic rock.
I went to KMET a couple times.
Oh, okay.
KMET,
I got tired of radio.
He
couldn't even say the time on the air.
Yeah, I worked at the coolest stations first, and then all the rest of the stations sucked after that, you know.
Yeah.
Satellite station, you couldn't say the weather because they're all over the place.
Because it's global.
Yeah, they're in different time zones.
You can't say the time, you can't say
right.
15 minutes after the hour.
It's like playlist.
Right. Which,
it's trippy.
Which taints the whole idea.
Yeah, down here. I mean, that was a big rock one.
Yeah.
We had a Long Beach one called KNAC.
Yeah, I worked there, too.
KNAC was great.
Rhythm days.
Wasn't that at the scene?
Who was the guy there? There was a Texan guy, and he was a big fan The Blue Oyster Cult. He'd always...
Oh, man. The Green Matter's damaged.
I know. I remember the KJ guy was wheeled on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've heard of that name, yeah.
Yeah, that was big when I first came to California.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're listening to the radio then.
Well, yeah, but I would owe it all to my cousin Dana.
Yeah.
She was a drummer. She was about 8 years older than I was, and she started playing drums when she was 6.
Yeah.
And she lived in New Orleans.
Yeah.
My mom was a single mom. She was struggling.
Yeah.
She moved us to New Orleans when I was 10, around 1980.
That's cool.
And we lived with my aunt, and my cousin was a drummer. She had a room. Her bedroom was basically like this, but her drum set was set up. She had records. So when my cousin would split and do her gigs or go to school, I was in heaven looking at her records. You know, she had...
What about listening?
Oh, I would listen with the headphones, yeah. She had...
Look, it was all the cover art.
Yeah, it was all the cover art. It was King Crimson. It was all this cover art that fucked me up. It was King Crimson, progressive musician-based music. And it did something to me. But I really had an appreciation for musicianship at like 9 years old.
Damn.
And I tried, when she was gone, I got on her drums and tried to learn Tom Petty fucking breakdown records, you know, and the Police at 9, not knowing what the fuck I was doing, and Queen, Stone Cold Crazy and shit like that. And she had the Go-Go's and she had Blondie and she had the Kinks. I love the Kinks.
Whoa.
So I owe it all to her, my love for it, because that's what did it. Yeah, I think that's what turned me on. Yeah, yeah.
today, being together in mind, if not in body, makes me glad. Our two minds always play in harmony. Isn't there something we could do together? An experience shared is twice the treasure.
Watt for Pedro show.
Yes, sir.
Let's see, we start off something brand new from Howie Reeve at Matthews. Howie's just a solo bass dude who sings songs. Oh, yeah, there
it is. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a mandala or something.
I've seen that,
We're looking at D-Boon
Gallery.
Wow.
D-Boon Payton of a King Crimson discipline.
How cool to be able to see that.
What's this other one?
Thank you, Matt. Wow.
It's Project Mersh.
Wow, yeah.
That's
man.
Old baby without a.
That's crop. Badass. Would you mind if. Can
okay,
I,
then
can
we heard. Last Dirty Beaches album, Displaced.
How badass.
Nephew Alex, he's starting a new trip. Last Lizard. I think his last gig in Portugal is tonight. Then we heard Brother Sister's Daughter, You're Here. Brand new album. It came out on Mr. Shimmy's birthday.
Yeah.
It was recorded 6 years ago. But all three albums are going to come out 1, 2, 3, a year apart. So he's working on mixing the second one. But that's the first one there. The Quiet Beach by King Champion Sounds. That's brand new from them.
Wow.
Thomas Sherpa's that's fucking
Zamperoni. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, this is his horn band. Brand new album, theme for the Wish Granters. I think the album's called Wish Granter.
Wow.
Kimi no Yukue by Boris, that's brand new. And then something not brand new, the Allegheny Whitefish.
Wow.
Mr. Tom Tobacco with Eating Butterflies.
Wow.
Back to
Tom Tobacco.
Cody's Journey Through Music. Okay, so it's your cousin in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Who's a drummer lady. And also deep in a lot of different stuff that you ain't never heard.
I'm 9 years old, I hadn't heard of none of this shit, no.
Right, you had good background, though, with soul and stuff.
Yeah, somewhat, yeah.
Okay, but then, when you come back to SoCal?
We did, after 2 years,
it was high school with the...
Yeah, junior high, we came back to SoCal, and I think it was around...
Still in the Val?
Still back to the Val. Okay. Back to the, cause you know, yeah, hot stuff. You know, it was crazy. I don't think it was, I don't know if it was being a kid. I don't recall it being as hot as it is now being an adult, but there were fucking days. Yeah.
It seems
like
it's 100 degrees every summer.
Yeah.
The air don't get in there.
No, it's just
you know
a
why?
Pit.
Perk lives out in, Tarzana.
Priggins, yeah.
Okay, so I'm in the west part.
Okay.
And Kay, she's in Studio City, so she's in the east part.
Yeah.
And her part don't get as blistering, but that
Perks
gets blistering.
Yeah. Yeah. I take my son out twice a week to Sherman Oaks out in the valley for preschool. Yeah. And my folks live in Canoga Park, so I go out there.
Sherman Oaks, I think this is where Beefheart did the prac for the fucking Trout Mass replica. There's a
pad
out there.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It goes back to those days.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you come back.
Come back. Yeah, come back after 2 years in New Orleans, and, you know, I have friends. I think what I remember the most, my friends' older brothers, you know, my friend Glenn, his older brother and Glenn, are into Rush. So, you know, the Canadian band trio, power trio, prog, you know, Rush.
My pool friend, cleaner, Tony took me
to see Rush, really?
In the 70s. It was like an opera.
Sure.
That some guy, like, had his hands up against the
star. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that dude is supposed to represent the stars, the corporation. And the star is against the corporation saying, no, I'm a free man, let me do my shit.
Oh.
Without the star interfering with my...
Sure.
With my, you know, our integrity. Yeah.
I heard the drummer writes the words.
Neil Peart, he does all of the lyrics.
But he ain't an original dude.
No, the first dude, damn it, what is his name? He left after... Damn, I forgot his name. He left after the first record.
He did.
Yeah, exactly.
Frank Tonchi, the... Minuteman, you know, Minuteman's first drummer was George Hurley.
Right.
Who was a welder man named Frank Tonchi.
Fuck, okay.
We actually did our first two gigs. He was from a polka band called the Polish Eagle Band. And, they played Slav and Italian weddings and doing polkas and colas. And D. Boone thought that kind of drummer would be good for punk because it's kind of two-step.
It's got the bounce,
And also... He lived in a pad in his sister's backyard, and it was always tough with us with drummers.
Yeah. To practice.
Practice pads were impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but what happened is after two gigs, he thought Punk was too crazy and quit.
Did he really?
And in fact, left his drum kit, everything, ran off.
Wow, you got scared him.
Yeah, I saw it. It was weird too because he painted his drums up for the gig, SP and shit.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, what's with Frank, man? It's going crazy. And then 10 years later,
yeah,
or maybe even 12, I saw him again. First time since all that time.
No way, no way.
He goes, you know what? I said, what? He said, I should have quit.
How's
a good guy.
You think?
Yeah.
You know what? In the early days of punk, it was kind of freaky. And
sure, it was new.
Second gig,
it was new.
That's where Greg Ginn said, hey, do you guys want to be SST002?
And what'd you say?
Yeah, but now we had no drummer, so right. We got George Early, because the Reactionaries drummer was George Early.
Okay, yeah.
He had joined a new wave band called Hey Taxi, but they had just broke up.
Wow.
So we asked Georgie, he learned the songs in 3 weeks.
Dude,
that ended up Paranoid Time.
Yeah. Well, the Paranoid Time pushes you to get shit going, so that's great how that show works.
We recorded and mixed it one night, $300.
Oh, my God.
It was the first time we made a record. Yeah,
the first. Wow, man.
So anyway.
George Hurley's incredible, man. That guy.
Incredible drummer, man. Yeah.
Very
technical. But he moved. I went by the pad he was living in before I went on tour.
Yeah.
He ain't there. No. Uh-huh. So Richard fucking Bonney told me he's coming next week for Thanksgiving.
Oh, cool, cool.
A plumber friend of mine who pots and pans. I met him before Georgie, and he was an old friend of Georgie's. Plumber man, he moved to San Francisco.
Wow.
Usually Pedro guys stay in Pedro, but Richard...
He's an adventurer.
So he's going to come back next week for catch up and find Georgie's new... But nobody's like Georgie. You had buddies at high school playing...
Well, junior high, my friends, brothers were Rush fans. They turned me on to Rush.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I really dug Rush.
Did you see him? Because I got back to that gig with the...
That was like the 2112. That was 2112, yeah. That was before, I think...
Go sleep.
Yeah.
It's so trippy. Miss Pete, huh? Like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
This lady, you know, she's been on tours to photograph. This is a Thai lady, really strong lady. But she was in, she grew up in Fresno.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she got into Rush. So they were coming around about 3 years ago to play. I knew who the promoter was. I said, okay, we'll go see it. So it'd been like 30 years in between, right?
Holy shit. Yeah.
And I fell asleep at that one.
Oh my God.
Consistency.
They were that boring.
Remember the bass man? No, they're all good musicians. You got to meet some of them.
Yeah, they're dope musicians.
Primus guy really likes that.
Even Geddy Lee,
he took me on tour to open up with Nels Klein and shit.
Wow, shit, Bill that's 90s. Right.
Yeah. When we played in Montreal, in Toronto, it was Toronto.
Okay.
He introduced me. Some of those guys came to the gig.
Oh, man. That's cool.
A guitar man, big blonde guy.
Alex Lifeson. Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
Sweet guy.
Geddy Lee is one of my favorite bass players. I like
this. It's a high voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw him this time before I comped, they had a little chicken thing.
Yeah, the rotisserie. I saw that tour.
So what was that about?
I don't know, you know.
Kind of jokey?
Yeah, jokey. And then another tour, they had a washing machine and a dryer as well.
It was rotisserie and a chicken.
Yeah, roastery chicken. And apparently the road crew would eat those chickens, actually. Yeah, that's what I read, yeah.
Not them, than me.
But I dug the sound of Geddy Lee's bass.
Yeah.
I think his sound of bass... tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know basses very well. I think it was a humbucker, but it matched to me. Rickenbacker. And it matched the sound of the bass player in Yes to me.
Yeah, they played the same kind of bass.
So that that hit me like, oh shit, they sound the same.
I found out that Squire, it was his band.
Okay.
They tried to tour without him?
No, it wasn't.
You got to call it your own name.
Right.
Because I'm Yes.
Right?
Wow.
That makes sense.
That was a whole different shift, where the bass guy becomes dominant in the band.
Yeah.
He was badass.
He was badass.
What I heard was Rush started off as a Led Zeppelin band.
Like, yeah.
Sing up. And you know where Robert Plant, I read, said he got that voice? Steve Marriott, Humble Pie.
Oh, no. Okay.
It was a little guy in Humble Pie.
Yeah.
Because he said that voice could cut right through it.
Right.
You know, Robert Plant's a guy who's not afraid to give credit. I know Led Zeppelin has a big history, but I think
right.
was more Mr. Page.
Right.
Robert Plant always gave it to Steve Marriott.
Really?
For giving him the inspiration to do
that's
that
cool.
high up there.
That is, yeah.
Shit, we're at the end of the first hour.
Wow.
2014. No. Yeah, 2014, yeah. But November 18th.
Fuck yeah.
First hour
fuck
of the
yeah.
show, Watt for Beatles show. Peyote Cody, our guest. Hold tight for hour two.
Woo!
18.
November 18th, 2014, the second hour of Watt for Beatles show.
Atlantic, Pacific, I broke down, I've drifted, floating on my back, like we're all taught to. When you're lost at sea, it's understood. You want something solid underfoot. I've sunk to the depths that I know one shouldn't. When you're alright, you're safe, you're warm. You're alright, you're safe. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Blackout or blizzard, it's cold and dark. What is it? It's none of these. So just sit with this. In a real snowstorm, it's understood. Anything warms and flames some wood. Any flame. Safe, you're warm. You're alright, you're safe. You're warm. You're alright, you're safe, you're warm. You're alright. You're safe.
private keep out. Family life, private keep out. Family life. Courtship and display. Eyes and ears.
Quelqu'un qui m'ont demandé.
Vous n'avez pas imaginé une minute que ça pouvait être par goût.
Check.
Son.
El verano ya se fue, mi memoria siente cambio, ilumina mi historia cuando frío llega a mí, cuando frío llega a mí. El sol cae, amante se abriga bien, con conchas, tamacos para dormir por playa. Querida, no esperes, dime que me amas, me quieres, me amas.
Watt for Pedro show. We start hour two off with a brand new El May, Atlantic Pacific.
Yeah.
Speaking of the ocean.
That's when she's in a pool, right? I think she's in a pool on that one. I think that cover, album cover on that. She's in a pool.
It's called, I can't remember what it's called. Oh, you are the other one. Or something like that. I think that's just, we're going to have her on. She'll explain it. And something brand new from Andrea Belfi. Immobile, Andrea Belfi, drummer man for El Sueño de Marinaio, my tour mate for the last 2 months.
Wow.
So we did 53 gigs, 53 days.
Oh my God. Kicking ass.
Family Life Designer Caveman by the God Hackney. Fifth Jeju French Film Festival trailer by Noel Poem. No One Knows Why They Go by Pete McRoberts. Tom Gallo with All the Bells. Girl's Experience, from Funny Noise.
Yeah.
And then Frederick Kim Boom with Lady Vengeance. Vengeance. Yeah, it's a word, vengeance. Fucking bucket. Okay. And Gentleman Blog by Dwarves. Of course,
wow.
Blog there.
Wow.
And finally, El Frio, Numero Dos, Chicano Batman.
Wow.
Okay, so. This bass sound from Rush.
Yeah, that turned me on. I think the bass sound from Rush, and yes, and even the sound, this distinct sound of how drums were recorded, led me to find the similarities in other bands and other albums.
Yeah.
You know, which I think all music lovers do at one point, right? They have an ear for shit and they can
start associating.
Yeah, and pick shit out and yeah. But I think I had an early appreciation for musicianship and the way shit sounded and technical shit too, like, you know, who's playing more notes in between, you know, how many notes are in a certain bar.
Yeah.
How many strings are being plucked on the, you know, on a bass between a beat.
At
you know
this time, are you going to clubs?
No, I was too young. I was still 9 or 10, 11. Clubs, concerts. It wasn't until I was like 14 or 15 I snuck into the country club in the valley on Reseda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played there a couple times.
Yeah. I found out later you did, as well as, you know, I think Bad Brains and Black Flag, of course. And
so those are your first live gigs?
I missed that boat. I was too young. I was born in 72.
Yeah.
I missed that boat. I was a little young. By the time I got there, I started getting into...
Playing Wasp?
Yeah, I was into the metal shit. I was into the metal shit. It was like Lizzie
Borden. I remember the last phase.
Yeah, it was like Lizzie Borden and Wasp. Wasp had that controversial record that I had. It was Fuck You Like an Animal. And the dude, it was a picture of his crotch with the saw blade coming out of it. And it was dope. It was like, oh, this is some fucking funny shit. So I went to go see them. I was like 14. I snuck in somehow. And then, I made my way over the hill to Hollywood and saw some Troubadour shows.
Okay, so close.
You know, yeah.
But did that change things when you see music up close?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I got to tell you, the first thing that fucked me up when I went back to Vegas to visit... 1985, my first arena show was Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And that fucked me up.
Bring Eddie out at the end?
They fucking brought Eddie out and his mummy shit. It was 1985, the Power Slave Tour. And I just remember...
Oh, so who was singing there?
It was Bruce Dickinson.
Okay.
Yeah. It was
Wilder, where he ain't in the...
Well, no, there was a while later on in the 90s where he stepped out. But the OG vocalist was Paul Di'Anno.
That's right.
Yeah, he did the...
He's actually the second guy.
Yeah, Paul Di'Anno did the first album and the Killers album, which were really punk rock, metal, fused.
About Torn or something.
Yeah, he couldn't hang, you know. Same with the first Rush drummer. He couldn't deal with the tour aspect. But the Iron Maiden and then Bruce Dickinson came on after Killers.
Then there was this third guy.
There was a, but he was like, it never even happened. You know, it was some bullshit, but... But that
now this guy learned how to fly and shit, right? He flies into the gig.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch that documentary, 666?
No, it, we did some festivals. I just played with them in Europe.
Dude.
And they were telling me...
Yeah, if you get a chance, they got a doc, Flight 666, on Netflix. Bruce Dickinson is a captain, and they designed a fucking 747 to haul all of their shit along with the crew. So they're the first ever in history to be able to go around the planet with all their shit and do it, right? So that was revolutionary in itself, just that.
But that gig blew your mind.
1985 fucked me up. And I was in front of Steve Harris and watching him put his...
What is he in the band? Does he write this?
He writes this. He's the...
I thought so, because they give him a mic, but he sings all the words.
He lip syncs it while he's playing because he writes it.
This is my song.
It's his shit.
Telling everybody, you know,
yeah.
I love this.
Yeah, and he's like a...
He's actually a really good bass player.
He's fucking badass.
Really good guy.
Like, even from when he was a kid, from the early shit.
Yeah, I know it's kind of what they have... genre you were saying, but
yeah.
There's a lot of Jamerson in his playing.
Dude, yeah.
There's a lot of thumping.
Yeah, and he's, I think he's, like, I know you were, I know you've said over time you're trying to incorporate your four fingers into playing at some point.
The flipper.
I think he, at the time, he was at least at three, and that fucked me up, because I was watching his ass, like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You know, and I was...
I figured he was strong in the band, because... Just,
yeah.
His presence wasn't like your typical bass dude.
No, he's...
Cliche.
He started it...
You like these bands with a bass guy out front.
Well, that... I just like bands that kick ass. I like energy. I like riffs. Guitar riffs I fucking love. I like bass lines.
Yeah.
I don't... And I like a little bit of not hot dogging-ish, but a little bit, let me show my chops, like jazz, like when each cat took their solo. I like to see a human's ability and what they can do. I want to see someone go the fuck off, just like skating. I want to see someone blast the fucking air. I
want to
see Brother Matt fucking go off.
You ready to do your spin cycle?
Oh, yeah. I just killed someone. What's going to happen to
you? Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm ready for action.
Fired up.
Oh, cool.
Hey, où vas-tu, Johnny?
Abidjan.
Où?
Abidjan. Côte d'Ivoire. Abidjan. 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 Abidjan.
told me you got to get better if you ever want to win. And I know that she not getting any better, man. She just did. I still love her, cause I know I was once there wearing them shoes. I'm still hurting, cause a woman I love giving me the blues. Well, I went feeling y'all. I'm sitting here sober, but I wonder what shape she'll find me in. I need her under my skin, like a junkie needs heroin. Going back to a snake and chase the amount of money I spent, I could have bought the place. And not to mention that they know my face. And now it's hell getting out the place. Come on! Walking the streets tonight, I'm catching some fireflies. Some say.
Installment of the spin cycle. What was driving you? What was inspiring you? What was motivating you, Brother Mathis?
Technical difficulties. So I didn't have, I couldn't burn some stuff I wanted to burn, so I had to make do with some stuff that was in the little collecting spot between the seats of my car.
Wow. All right. Nice. Damn.
Right? The lemons are falling from the sky. I was bitching. The Tina trip there, you know, I was just in New Orleans, and I was in the French Quarter, a place called One Eye Jack's. It used to be called Slim Shim Sham.
Shim Sham, wow.
Room. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like an old theater, maybe burlesque thing or something from oldie time, and had a good gig there. What's his name? Dave.
From the desert. Yeah.
Eagles of Death Metal.
Eagles of Death Metal. Boots Electric, is that his name?
Dave. He's got the studio. Him and he ain't the front guy. I think.
Josh Homme, the Queens of the Stone Age guy.
Buddy with him too.
Yeah, yeah.
They all come out of that
Desert Crew. Josh Retreat.
Yeah, that shit's dope. I love that shit.
He was at the gig for.
Oh, bitching.
Something. Baron Martin was too.
That's where I got turned on to those guys. Was out of Josh Retreat Revival.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow.
That trip, Small World.
Their bass player, I liked Nick Oliveri. Yeah.
Right. His old band.
He wrote some great bass lines, man.
Yeah.
And then you went with
the band before. It was Caius,
yeah. Caius is funky, man. Heavy and funky.
Mario with Fatso Jetson.
Fatso Jetson was dope.
There's a whole thing coming out of there. Anyway, that studio man, Dave, was there. It was good to see him. He had a big old beard.
Wow.
And, when people pop out of nowhere.
Yeah, unexpected place. Yeah, right.
And earlier that day, coming from Mobile, got to do a sailboat ride in off Biloxi, you know?
Nice. Oh, shit, yeah.
And it's where that BP oil thing is.
Yeah.
And
do you smell it
there
still?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was no wind. So we hit the thing of sailboats.
Yeah.
And it's humid as shit. Yeah.
My, you know what? Not as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
Because it was the end of
October. You weren't in the thick of summer.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. November 18th, 2014 edition of the Pedro Shore. Yes, Peyote Cody.
Peyote Cody, yes. Yes.
Hold tight for hour three. November 18th, 2014, it's third hour, the Watt from Pedro Show.
Now promise more than truth and loyalty. Keep looking inside my mind. Disillusion is what you find. Forsake my love. You can't see me then, I know it's time to go. You keep looking inside my mind. Disillusion is what you we'll be right back.
Merci.
Pedro show. Started off the third hour with some Los Psychos.
Yeah.
Demolition.
Damn.
You know, people tell me these cats were way ahead on the punk tip. Maybe before B-Fart and Stooges even. I don't know.
Doesn't sound like a 60s stuff. Peru band, though. I'm not like pan flutes.
That might be some shit.
The drums is all they had. They didn't have string instruments until Spain brought them over.
Well, someone needs to bring in the pan flute now.
The Chronics after them, they're from Italy. First time, best time. Orange Disaster, Right Side of My Brain. I think those are Chile guys that moved to Germany, to Hamburg. The Warbler's Tsunami of Love, speaking of Jay Maskus.
Yes, sir.
This is his brother, Mike Maskus.
No way.
He got a band called the Warblers, and they got a brand new record out.
Holy shit.
And, Tsunami of Love. And the Warriors with Shut Up and Listen. That's from Seattle. Gnarly Davidson with Part 2. Gnarly Davidson, I got to play with them in Lawrence, Kansas. They're pretty gnarly.
What a great name. I can't believe I didn't think of that name.
Power Trio.
Shit.
And finally, Guy, the Banu's remix from Diam Musica and RO4. We're here with Peyote Cody.
Woo.
Look, tell me about how'd you get into the radio thing.
The radio thing, man, well... I think it started from, first hearing, so from the Rush and the shit like that, I got into thrash metal, the first Metallica record, Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, Slayer, Hell Awaits, all that shit, being in that, and then Suicidal Tendencies, getting, more aggressive with the sound and shit.
I want more.
Yeah, I want more, I want more. Got into the punk, all the punk shit.
Yeah, I don't want more, I just wanted to test.
Yeah, exactly. So going from that to that, when Public Enemy came out, which Sean introduced me to fucking Rebel Without a Pause on 12-inch, when I heard that, my fucking mind was blown. Like, okay, this is another aggressive, this is another version of punk rock.
Yeah.
I loved it. Okay, so when I heard that, and I heard Run DMC, and I heard all the scratching on it, I'm like, okay, I don't have a band. My friends can't fucking play instruments. I want to be in a band. I can't do it. So let me do this one-man band thing, like Jam Master J, and let me see if I can do this.
Okay.
Let me fucking get on the turntable.
Oh, my.
Yeah, Schoolie fucking D, of course, that first album.
Do a gig with you.
Dude,
night.
Holy shit.
Yeah, his sunglasses, he goes, my name's
Schoolie School.
Oh, no, Tony Jesse.
Oh, Jesse, wow.
He says, my name's Jesse.
That album, Saturday night.
I forgot, I played in East Town, in Philly.
Wow. Parkside 5252.
That record,
Bum Rush the Show,
yeah.
Criminal Minded,
yeah.
And Raising Hell from Run DMC, those records fucked me up. It was another fuck me up phase.
Yeah.
And so, the idea of being a DJ, making all those crazy sounds by myself, I could do this by myself, got me into DJing. And then got me into maybe I could play clubs and expose cool music to people. I think that's the idea behind wanting to do radio shows. Yeah, or wanting to do radio shows or wanting to be a DJ. Later on, being a DJ got tainted because everyone wants you to be a fucking jukebox. And, the younger... Yeah, so you can't really be a freak so much, when you're a DJ playing clubs so much, depending on what you want to do.
You gotta move the crowd.
Yeah, and
it's a whole different world.
It's a whole different world.
Did you like that one? Did you like Follow the Leader?
Motherfucking Follow the Leader, Eric B. and Rakim, Rakim Allah. The hardest rhyme that will ever be written, and I feel so passionate about this, Lyrics of Fury.
Oh, yeah.
That song, those...
Your seatbelts, because I'm a...
Hold on if you want the style I possess. I bless the gods, the earth, the moon, and fuck the rest. I mean, every line on there is...
I think his brother made the music. He's got a younger brother who did the background.
Fuck.
That's a bad album.
Well, on that song in particular, was a P-Funk sample. No Head, No Backstage Pass.
Yeah, right.
I think he kind of transformed the guitar lick in there on top of a very sped up funky drummer loop as well. And that song, Follow the Leader, that whole album is amazing. But that song, No MC, I've studied hip hop, I've studied MCs, I love it. No one will ever fuck with that song.
No, it's intense. And no cuss words.
No, he's a fucking scientist.
Yeah.
Rakim Allah, man. So, Rakim.
Rolo
gets a hold of, ain't nothing smiling. Stop smiling, yeah. Yeah, that shit was so funky. I mean, that shit.
That's why you want to get on the radio.
Well,
oh, no, you wanted to get in the club.
I was DJing, yeah. Being a turntablist, I got hired as a studio musician to scratch on a lot of Cat's songs. Yeah. I think the first thing I did was on a Don Was record.
Okay.
So throughout the years, I got hired to do that. So I was kind of like a studio musician, going to studios, working, doing scratch shit, and then doing shit for like TV shows.
Well, what about the Lost Control?
So the Lost Control, it wasn't until like a year and a half where I was like, okay, I had been on tours,
yeah,
and I was in a place where I wasn't touring anymore.
Yeah.
I did mix CDs over the years, and they would be globally distributed. Like, on Melrose, I'd take in the shops on Melrose, and they would sell out. And I'd get write-ups in magazines and shit on them, too. So my friends would tell me, dude, you know, now that the internet had got where it was, it's like, dude, do some fucking podcasts.
Yeah.
And it didn't hit me till a friend of mine, Suave Smooth, told me, hey, you should do this shit. So I finally got off my ass and did it. He's the credit. Yeah.
The last bunch for this edition.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Last music we heard, El Paso, Devin, Gary, and Ross. Slimy by Elam Bolt. Cadmus by Dear Blanca. Anger Management by Loose Barons. Lily on the Mountain by 4D Nightmare. And finally, Ghosts We All Are by David Girard. The website where people can hear your show?
Yes, sir.
LOSSRADIO. No.
Lost Control Radio.
LOSSCONTROLRADIO.com.
Yes, sir. LostControlRadio.com.
You guys can hear Cody's righteous fucking bunch of tunes that he puts out. Well, when do you do your show?
I'm sorry? What was that again?
When?
Where?
When?
I try to do it every week.
Once a week.
Once a week. You know, it gets busy. Sometimes I skip a week.
The old ones archived?
Yes, they're archived on LostControlRadio.com. You can download them. It also streams. I have the honor of Chuck D streams my show on his website.
You know, he's in Cali now.
Yeah, he's in.
I come to dude's pad in Barbara.
Yeah.
Where his wife is a professor with him.
At the college.
UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah, yeah.
He's no longer Strong Island. Ventura.
He's Ventura. Yeah.
Respect, man. I love that, man.
Dude, he's God to me. He's one of the gods to me.
What kind of advice would you give a young person wanting to get into music?
Into music? Study it. Study all genres. Don't just listen to one thing. Listen to everything. And find what you like, and I don't know, it's cliche probably for me to say, I don't know, just be passionate about it. If you love it, try to share it and spread the word with everything, with everybody. I don't know, Sean, what do you think?
That's good advice. Let's be open.
Be open. I think that's what
it. Take it to heart.
Yeah, and that could apply to anything. Food, you know, art, how you love and interact with people. Sure, everything.
What about radio shows? Well, somebody wanted you to have give them advice about putting together their own radio.
Well, with now, you can do whatever the hell you want. So do whatever you want and don't try to be like anyone else.
No
copycats. Don't bite. Don't be toy ass motherfuckers. You know, be original, man. There's no, you know, it's rare that there's originality.
Right.
You know, yeah. Be an OG.
Real.
Be an OG. And it's hard, you know, a lot of great things have already been done, but be OG as you can, as original.
There's a lot of stuff to be done.
A lot of stuff to be done. Yeah.
Be
yeah.
Kept. Thought of.
Absolutely.
Brother Peyote Cody, man, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. White.
Can I
ask you a question before we sign off? Your cover of Sophisticated Bitch, Public Enemy.
Got to do with Beastie Boys.
How? Well, we also saw that at the Palomino, because we're Valley Boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, I told him.
Yeah, we're Valley Boys. He saw it. What made you do that song? It's so fucking incredible.
What happened was Thurston gave me the first three demos. Which
yeah.
Was Bum Rush to Show.
Yeah.
Sophisticated Bitch and Uzi Ways It Tough.
Fuck yeah.
And then when the album came out,
yeah,
it sounded so tiny.
Yeah.
You know about these three songs, the demos?
No, not the demos.
This is before they had a record deal.
Okay.
And we thought, Edward was like, man, the album, nobody's going to know that they had a big sound.
Yeah.
So let's do Sophisticated Bitch to show people.
I mixed that on my show, one of the first episodes, and I sent it to Chuck, and he was like, yeah, that's fucking...
Did he know about that?
Yeah.
We were huge fans before they even had an album out, because Thurston turned us on to this.
So dope.
Same as schooling, Thurston.
Yeah, so badass.
I gotta thank you so much for coming on board.
Thank you, sir.
No, certainly.
Always your essentially.
Cool.
I love you, Mike Watt. I fucking love you, man. Fuck.
It's been November 18th, 2014 edition of Watt for Peter Show. Everybody.
Yeah, keep your powder dry.